From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Despite all the weirdness with individual fisheries, this summer's statewide salmon catch looks to be one of the best ever. In fact, early numbers put it on track to be the eighth largest haul since 1975. In Bristol Bay, more than 56 million salmon swam home this summer. Price right now is about $1.35 and is expected to keep rising. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is set to meet in Homer starting September 30th. The last time the council met in Homer was back in 1983, more than three decades ago. And we finish up with a happy ending story about a man whose tender sank off Kodiak and lived to tell the story because his safety gear was up to snuff. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
If you find fisheries management to be a bunch of mumble jumbo and hard to understand, you're not alone. The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is hoping to help fishermen be better at understanding the process and taking part in the testimony. Starting on September 30th, for 10 days, the North Pacific Council is meeting in Homer. The council oversees more than 25 stocks in waters from 3 to 200 miles offshore, the source of the bulk of Alaska's fish catches. Coming to Homer is part of an ongoing effort to engage people in the decision-making process.
The council is certainly interested in engaging more stakeholders, particularly from rural and Alaska Native communities.
Dave Witherell is council executive director. At the Homer council meeting, a first-ever intro to the council workshop will be held to make the fish policy-making process less daunting.
What we're trying to do is open it up so that someone that maybe not follow, live and breathe the council process can still participate. They don't have to know all of the jargon and all of the meanings of every acronym. We're trying to put it out there in plain language.
And plain language is also what you get if you go to the newly revamped North Pacific Council website. All the things posted there, including the meeting agendas, document overviews, and more, are in a conversational style. Council IT Specialist Maria Davis.
Some of the topics are very complex, so distilling them down into two or three sentences may not be exactly what is happening, but it gives a large overview.
And you'll be able to look back at old meetings through the searchable digital content, which includes all meetings back to 2014. If you'd like to make a comment yourself, you can do so on the website, or if you'd like to review what others have said. That's available, too, with just one click. The North Pacific Council meets September 30th through October 9th in Homer.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Alaska's statewide salmon catch this year was one of the best ever. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has details.
Alaska's statewide salmon catch of nearly 200 million fish is just 6% off what managers predicted, and it's on track to be the eighth largest harvest since 1975. How to sum up the 2019 season in a single word?
Unpredictable.
Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commercial Fisheries Division, is a nearly 30-year management veteran. The brightest spot was the strong returns of sockeyes, which produced a catch of over 55 million fish, the largest since 1995. Strong runs of other salmon made for a good season.
For the most part, we had large returns around the state of all species, with the exception of Chinook salmon, and we met most of our escapement goals.
In many regions, unprecedented heat. through, salmon runs off kilter and also killed large numbers of fish unable to swim up dry streams to spawn.
From what we've seen, the magnitude is relatively small. We don't believe the die-offs have been significant enough to impact escapement. Now, whether the warm and low water conditions will result in reduced viability of offspring from these fish spawning this year or increased overwintering mortality, that remains to be seen.
The same environmental conditions appear to be playing out favorably in westward regions.
And we're starting to see salmon move into even further into the Arctic on the North Slope. We're seeing sockeye and pink salmon up there, and that's a new occurrence.
Overall, the unpredictability brings new challenges to salmon managers.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. Meanwhile, in Bristol Bay, the 2019 salmon fishing season wasn't record-breaking, but new numbers released by the state show that the season was still astounding. KDLG's Izzy Ross has this report.
More than 56 million fish returned to Bristol Bay this summer. That's far more than predicted and the sixth largest run ever recorded. At just over $306 million, the preliminary ex-vessel value for the salmon season is the highest in the fishery's history. The ex-vessel price is the amount of money fishermen get when they sell their salmon to a processor. But the key word here is preliminary.
That total value will only go higher.
Garrett Everidge is an economist with the McDowell Group, a consulting firm based in Anchorage. Everidge explained that the price the Alaska Department of Fish and Game provided only includes this year's base price of $1.35 per pound, not bonuses for things like icing and bleeding fish.
That average price of $1.35 is only going to increase. We don't know what the final price will be, but it will be higher than $1.35. And then that will influence the total ex-vessel value for the 2019 Bristol Bay harvest.
The final number, due out sometime this spring, will determine whether this year's price will exceed previous seasons. That price tag is just one in a series of big numbers from this summer. The Bristol Bay fleet hauled in 43 million fish, the second largest harvest on record. Tim Sands, an area management biologist with Fish and Game, says part of why the catch was so large this year is because more of the returning fish were 1-3s. That is, they had spent 1 year in freshwater and 3 in the ocean, and so they had more time to grow.
A higher percentage of older fish this year. We had bigger fish in the Nooshigak, but also fishermen adapted a little bit by using smaller mesh gear.
The enormous catch was harvested during one of the hottest, driest summers ever in Bristol Bay. In some rivers, the run was halted by thermal barriers, pockets of water that were too warm for the salmon to swim through. Sands says that was the case in the Yagushik on the west side of the bay.
We did see and hear reports of many, many sockeye dying in that river.
Still, all rivers ended up meeting or exceeding their escapement, meaning enough fish went on to spawn in their natal streams and lakes. Fish and Game expects to release the final numbers for 2019 this spring. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And we finish up this week with a happy rescue story. We include these rescue stories once in a while as a reminder that fishermen and others near the water need to have their gear up to date and ready to use. In this case, a hunter on a fishing tender near Kodiak was rescued when the Coast Guard picked up his EPIRB. The Coast Guard reports that the search and rescue was a success despite the vessel sinking in what the service calls a VHF no coverage zone. The fishing vessel Sarah Jean began taking on water while simultaneously losing power to the starboard engine. While the owner was troubleshooting the power loss to the engine, the vessel began to list and then sunk in approximately 350 feet of water at the entrance to Three Saints Bay on the southeast side of Kodiak Island. The man was able to don a survival suit before he entered the water and climbed into the life raft, which automatically deployed using a hydrostatic release. The man had attempted to send a mayday on his VHF radio, but apparently was unheard because of being located in the dead zone. Fortunately, the man had his EPIRB, and as the Sarah Jean sank, the hunter took his EPIRB with him into his life raft and attached a strobe light. Coast Guard Sector Anchorage watchstanders received a signal from a 406 megahertz EPIRB, which was registered to the 61-foot fishing tender. The signal was coming from the vicinity of Three Saints Bay on the southeast side of Kodiak Island. An MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crew from Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak was launched and located the hunter in a life raft. The crew hoisted the man from the raft and safely transported him to Kodiak, where he was reported in good health and needing no medical care. But the rescue was not without its problems, because the Coast Guard itself got caught in that dead zone. The Coast Guard reports that communications with the helicopter was lost for approximately 25 minutes while the crew was in the search area and conducting the hoist. Lieutenant Megan Peters was the aircraft commander on this response. She said the man, quote, made our job extremely easy, unquote. She said he did everything right. All his gear had been properly maintained so that it was in good working order when he needed it. Because the EPIRB registration was up to date, they knew exactly where to go and who they were looking for, and they were able to hone in on the beacon. So, there you go. Despite the fact that the vessel sank so quickly, because he had his gear and it was in good shape, he lived to tell the story. Here are two interesting side notes to this story. The next day, another Coast Guard helicopter crew spotted the life raft along the shore. They landed and recovered it. Raft recovery is not normally something that air crew members do, but the Coast Guard reported that they did not want that raft to be mistaken for another distress and initiate another search and rescue case. Also, the vessel sank with a maximum potential of 2,000 gallons of diesel fuel aboard. This is a fishing vessel. It's a tender. The supervisor of Marine Safety Detachment Kodiak interviewed the hunter and determined that as it was a recreational hunting voyage, it was not a reportable marine casualty.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Izzy Ross at KDLG in Dillingham and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Here's a question. Is your EPIRB registration up to date? Accurate information helps the Coast Guard know whose signal has gone off, and it gives onshore contact information. That extra bit of info could make all the difference in a rescuer finding you in time. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.